And let's tell the Lord that even as we come before him this evening, he will make himself manifest unto us, and he will reveal himself unto us in greater fashion than we have ever known. Let's pray to the Lord that his word this evening will energize us and will equip us as we run this race even to the promised land. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great privilege that you have given unto us this day to come before you. We know that unto you shall the guardian of your people be. And so we have come to receive strength, to receive courage, and to receive our power for life and for godliness. Our prayer is that even as we open the scriptures this evening, you will minister grace unto our hearts, and each and every one of us will be partakers of your blessing today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We thank the Lord for another privilege and opportunity that we have to come before him this day. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we have started this series. We themed a week, and by the grace of God, we have gone through a couple of sessions. And last week, we asked the question, is the Lord satisfied with it? And during this session, there was an emphasis on the need for us to always be in a position in which we can say of a truth that the Lord is satisfied with us. And we also mentioned the fact that the Holy Spirit plays a very vital role to assure us that we are his, and he convicts of sin and every form of unrighteousness, and he also gives us assurance that we are his son. The Bible says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if you are going to be assured of God's satisfaction with us, one primary thing we must have is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, today we come to a topic which we have called He That Overcometh. And in Christ's letter to all the seven churches, he mentioned in one form or the other, He That Overcometh. Now, before we go into the topic proper, I want to call your attention to the use of language that Jesus Christ deployed in writing to the churches. Now, when he was writing to each of the churches, starting, the Bible says, and to the angel of the church. And then he talks to the people as a whole. But when he begins to talk about the need to listen, the need to pay attention, he focused on he that overcometh. He focused on he that hath an ear. While he could be saying them, right? As we see, he said, thou art left your first love, referring to the whole church. But when it comes to the matter of listening to the Holy Spirit, it says, he that hath an ear. And we're going to come to that later in this series. But today, we are coming to the subject of he that overcometh. And so the he there is referring to individuals. While the church would have gone into some form of backsliding, there is still a word for individuals. While the church may be going through some challenges, maybe persecutions, maybe permissiveness, as we have talked about in previous series, you see, the burden to listen, he that hath an ear, and the burden to overcome still lies upon individuals. And I want to lay emphasis on this even as we go on. And as we begin to think about what exactly would God have us to do? Well, we can think about this in terms of the church or a group. The burden still comes on individuals, on you and I. While the angels may be spoken to by the Lord Jesus Christ, but the message, the courage comes to individuals to take a stand, to take a stand of righteousness, to take a stand of holiness, and to take a stand for him. And I pray that the Lord God Almighty will help us to see this in Jesus' name. Now, if you look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, verse 26, and chapter 3, verse 5, 12, and 21, referring to each of the churches, there is a statement that talks about he that overcometh. Now, when he was writing to the church that is in Ephesus, he says in verse 7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. When we go to the church that is in Smyrna, we see that he said, let him, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and he that overcometh shall not be out of the second verse. When you come to verse 17 of chapter 2, Jesus Christ said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And he says, to him again that overcometh. And he mentioned many, many more things. Now, if you come to verse 26, while he was speaking to the church in Thyatira, he mentioned, he said, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nation. So to, if you look at the whole of chapter 2, so all the letters that were written this same phrase or clause, as the case may be. And we also see in chapter 3, verse 5, he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life. In verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, him that overcometh. And in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, to him that overcometh. Now, I would mention that to all these churches, without exception, there is need for overcoming. Now, whether the church at the time that Jesus Christ was writing had no fault, like the church that we had in Smyrna, or even the church that we had in Philadelphia, to each of them, though there was nothing expressly negative that was spoken about them, there was still the need to overcome. And for those that Jesus Christ really pointed to some matters in which he said, I have something against you, but I have a matter against you. Nevertheless, he was still saying there is a need to overcome. Now, why did I say this? Because it is possible for one to say, I am a Christian. I am born again. By the grace of God, I know the Lord is satisfied with me, as we talked about last week. By the grace of God, I've searched my heart after the session last week, and I can say that the Lord is satisfied with me. But what Jesus is pointing out today, even in this session, is that whether you are well pleased unto him, there is still an overcoming to do. Brethren, it is very, very crucial that we pursue to overcome. And we're going to be talking about this matter of overcoming today. Now, whether there is a matter that the Holy Spirit pointed to as a result of maybe the session last week, or after you have actually had time to think about the session, to ruminate on the session, and is it that you found something, Jesus is still saying, you need to overcome. And so what is it that we need to overcome? I would mention as we go on that even Jesus, the Bible says he had no sin. He himself said he overcame. So this matter of overcoming is common to both righteous and the those that are attaining to perfection. Are you following me now? So this message today, whether you are a minister, or whether you're a member, whether you're a pastor, it applies to you, that we have not overcome until you have overcome. Are you following me now? And so what does it mean to overcome? To overcome is to conquer. From the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says to surmount, to vanquish, to subdue, as to overcome enemies in battles. It means to overcome and to prevail amidst circumstances. And as such, an overcomer is one who does what? Who prevails. Now, as believers, Jesus Christ saying, he that overcomes, he that overcomes, and pointing to the fact that we need to prevail. We need to subdue. We need to surmount. We are in a battle. May I start this evening by mentioning the fact that the Christian life is not a funfair. The Christian journey, the Christian walk is not a playground. It is a battle. And it's a battle that requires warfare. It requires warfare against sin. It requires warfare against Satan. It requires warfare against the world. And many times, even for saved individuals, it requires warfare against flesh, against self, against the Adamic nature. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that there is a constant battle in the book of Galatians chapter 5. There's a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. And so who overcomes that? So there are battles to fight. So Satan, the world, sin, and self are in constant battle against the spirit of life that we have come to receive after we gave our life to Jesus Christ. And knowing that we are fighting, it is very important for us to prevail. And so when Jesus is saying to each of the, and every one of the churches, he that overcome it, he's saying overcome sin. But those of you that have had opportunity to hear the gospel of Balaam, what a wrong opportunity you had. And then you are now beginning to love the world and the love of the things of this world. And so Jesus is saying, he that overcometh the gospel of Balaam, he that overcometh the gospel, the message and the people and the product of the work of Jezebel, he that overcometh the sin that their messages, the lassitude, the liturgy, that their message produced in men who call themselves Christians as well. And it seems that you are different from them. And like, are you the only one? And it seems that you have now been ostracized. And you cannot even subdue because they are more than you. The people that claim and they follow that same gospel, they have the gospel, the belief of the Nicolaitans. And so because they eat to that, and there are so many of them. And you're saying, are you the only one? It seems that I cannot even survive with everybody doing this. And then I am the only one. Am I the odd man out? Jesus is saying, he that overcometh. He said, to conquer even against the pressure of the world, to subdue the pressure of the majority. So I say once again that the Christian life is a warfare. It's not a funfare. And we must pursue, we must war till the end. And the reason why, you know, Jesus had to write this to those, the same, the churches that were doing well, and those that had some matters against them, was because either ways, you still need to continue to fight until we are taken home, until we are taken out of this world. We need still to continue to fight, and we can gain victory, and we can have victory. And so you see in the title, we said, he that overcometh. Jesus did not say he that overcame, because there is a present continuous. It is a continuous thing. Some people say they've given their life to Jesus Christ many years ago, and there's no need for them to do anything today. I mean, it's now, they are now free in Christ, free to do anything, and they can hear any doctrine. Nothing moves them. And so they give room to lethargy, to lassitude, like the church in Sardis. They once used to have a name. They once were known for righteousness, the fact that they were alive. But when Jesus was going to speak about them, he said, I have not found your work perfect. You know how many of us today are carrying the glory of many, many years? How many of us are today carrying the glory of the congregation that we used to be or that we are in? But when God is going to look at us, he said, I have not found your work to be perfect. And there is a call that is coming upon us this evening, is the call for us to overcome sin. It's to overcome every form of lassitude and lethargy, of self-righteousness. You know, self-righteousness is that which makes people, like the Laodicean church, they said they have it all. They have riches. He said they have it all. And Jesus Christ said they were wretched. And so, brethren, there is a call upon our lives. And the call upon our lives, even this evening, is that we must strive, we must fight, we must war to overcome. Now, this fight is not the fight on the street. It's not the fight that the world fights. It's not like someone beating the air. You know, Paul the Apostle says, it's not like someone beating the air. The fight we are fighting is the fight of faith. Paul the Apostle said it. He said, I have fought the good fight of faith. He said, I have finished my work. You see, at a point, it must get to that point in which we can say that we fought at every point in time we overcame. And even if at any point in time we got wounded, we stand, we arise, and we continue to fight. Because it is not he that prevails in every battle. Okay? He's saved. But he that overcome, that at the end of the day, despite all the challenges, and we're going to talk about this, despite all the difficulties, despite all the attacks of the enemy, despite all the beatings, you know, Jesus Christ had to go through, you know, beatings, even the times that blood was coming out of his body. He faced ridicule from men. See, this fighting is not the fight to, you know, stop people from ridiculing you, because they shall surely ridicule you. They shall spite you. You'll be rejected of men. You'll be rejected of people of your own household. Jesus Christ was saying it. He said, he was talking about rejection of people. He said, a man's own enemy will be those of his own household. You know, those that, you know, once you said you are giving your life to Jesus Christ and you're following the Lord, then you become their old enemy. When you say you want to go with the Lord, they are the ones pulling you back and saying, what do you mean? Are you the only one? And they even may be called Christians. So Jesus is saying we must overcome. So it is not the street fight. It is a warfare of the spirit. And we must gain victory. Now, all persevering Christians must gain victory. And the warfare and victory shall have a glorious triumph and reward. And so, you see, we put he that overcome it and on, and whatever you put there, because there are rewards for those that overcome. And there is reward for everyone who overcomes sin, who overcomes Satan, who overcome the self, and even the world and the world system. You see, when we pursue this matter of overcoming, and we see that our Christian life is constantly besieged by the devil, is constantly besieged by the system that the devil has created in this world, then we begin to, you know, think about the fact that there is a need to overcome. Now, you see, when we do not fight, when we do not know that we are in a battlefield, we have lost the battle already. But if you know we are in a battlefield, 50% of the battle is won because you are prepared, knowing fully well that this life I'm living is a battlefield. And we're going to be talking briefly about the battles that we are fighting, but not so much about that, but also about the rewards that we get, the reward for those that overcome. And I will tell you one of the reasons why we needed to talk about this reward, because this is central and very important for us as believers in Christ to enhance us, to encourage us as we run the race that is before us. So an overcomer is one who, by the grace of God, received true faith in Christ, has experienced the new birth, and remains constantly, with the emphasis on constantly, living a life of victory over sin, flesh, and the world system and Satan. Now, while surrounded by great opposition and rebellion, the overcomer refuses to conform to the world and the ungodliness within the visible church, within those of his own household. That is, people we call denominations or sects or gatherings or congregations, when they see deviation from the word of God, they separate themselves from those actions. Overcomers are those who, despite the environment and lukewarmness, lassitude and lethargy that is around them, they remain and keep their life alive to God. They listen to God. They are sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Like we mentioned last week, they know when the Spirit is saying there is something wrong, deal with it. They know. They're able to sense that there is something wrong in their inner mind. And they quickly seek the face of God for the revelation for it, because they always want to be perfect before God, because they know that their master, Jesus Christ, can come at any time. They remain faithful to Christ because they have pledged their whole allegiance to Christ, and they accept only God's standard as the revealed revelation, as it is revealed in the Holy Bible, in the Holy Scripture. Now, I must mention that, you know, I've said many things, but what are the things that are classical? Number one, they know the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. They know him. They've gotten to that point, like Paul the Apostle says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be made conformable unto his death. They've come to be part of Jesus Christ. They've known the love of God. But they did not just know the love of God, they believe and they have faith in Christ, and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the poster child of God. Now, if they will ever conform to the image of God, it is through Jesus Christ, not through any other person, not through any other founder of any denomination, not through any other founder of any ministry, not through any founder of any religion, that Jesus Christ is the poster child, is the perfect image of God. And it's unless their life aligns to the life of Christ, and all they are doing is to make sure that their lives align to the life of Christ. And that's what they are seeking. So they know the love of God, which is Jesus Christ, and they want to make themselves conformed unto him. And so they learn of him. They've dropped their own cross, and they're now carrying the yoke of Christ. As Jesus Christ said, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give thee rest. He said, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. They are learning of Christ day after day. And when they go through challenges and difficulties, they ask themselves, what would Jesus do? And this is their constant life. It is not a matter of months or yearly, only when you have retreat. It is where every day they're asking, how is my life? How did what I just said here, how did that conform to Christ? And they do so consistently, they do so continuously, they do so constantly, they do so patiently and faithfully to the very end, living with the hope of life eternal and escape the eternal damnation. They yield themselves to the Holy Spirit of God. These are people who are overcomers. They are the ones, they don't yield themselves to the world. They don't respect the persons of men when it contradicts the word of God. They give priority and premium to God's word and God's words only. These are those who overcome. They have come to understand the why of the Christian life. They are not just mere followers. They are not just lip professors. They have pledged their full allegiance to Christ in the hope of life eternal and the life of blessedness. They live as such as Christ will live. They walk as Christ will walk. Their choices reflect their commitment to Christ. They are laser focused on the promise that Christ has given unto them. And most importantly, they attain it at the end of the day. And so, while today it may be that they are not yet there, they are walking towards, he said, that I may know him, that I may know him. That was where Paul the Apostle was. And so, when you see a man like Paul the Apostle, says, at the end of his own journey, at the end of his own time, when he was writing to Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight of it. I have finished. You see, so for you and I to be able to say, we have fought, we have finished, and surely, and with all certainty that there is a crown of life that is laid before us, not only to all for us, but to them that also love his appearing. He said, what I'm looking for now is just his appearing. That was the point that Paul the Apostle was when he said, I have fought the good fight of faith. That was the end of his life. Brethren, in your own time, would you be able to say that you have fought the good fight of faith? Will you say you have finished your course? Do you even know your course? Do you know what God has called you to do? You see, overcomers are those who know the will of God. Like Jesus Christ, he said in the book of Hebrews, he said, I have come to do thy will, O God. As it is written of me, to do thy will, I have come. Brethren, to overcome means that you overcome every opposition, everything of the world that attempts to draw you away from doing and fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. You see, the Ephesian church were to love the Lord. And we've talked about this already. But they dwindled in their love. The Thyatiran church were to give no place to the devil, but they began to give room to men, to the Nicolaitans, to the false teachers. The Pergamos church, the Thyatiran church, the false teachers like Jezebel. Brethren, what are you giving room for? Have you come to know that which is the cause and the cause that God has designed for you? Are you doing it? What is it that is standing on your way of doing it? It can be that hindrance for you to overcome. But I must not leave without talking about the battles. Because I said, the Christian life is a battlefield. It's not a fun ground. It's not fun fair. It's warfare. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 12, which we're not going to go to today. And I must mention that it was written clearly there. All the events that happened when Satan came into the world. The Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For the devil knoweth that he has but a short time. So he goes about deceiving and deploying all his agents. To deceive men,
to deceive the church. And he sent water, you know, water of error and heresy to pursue men, to pursue the church. And maybe you will see around you the wind of error, the wind of lassitude. You know, something will just start there and everybody is just following it. And it is a substitute for real devotion to God, in which it could be one song and people just be singing and everybody will just continue, just go along, and they may even mention God. And it's a substitute for personal devotion. It could be some things that people are just saying, some word of affirmation, they just put it somewhere, and it substitutes a personal devotion. And that takes the devotion to God. And they may carry a show as though they are right. They may carry a show as though they are righteous. But because many do not possess the Holy Spirit, they are not able to sense that this thing, there is something about it. I want to mention that for you to overcome, you know, I mentioned it, God the Father, you must know him. You must know him, know him. Jesus, you must love him. The Holy Spirit, you must be sensitive to him. If you must overcome. Because this plays a central role in our overcoming. The teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of Christ, and the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern wrong from right. That which looks externally right, but is wrong and rotting internally, the Holy Spirit will be able to reveal unto you. So it is very important that we as believers in Christ must pay a very close attention to overcoming. And we must know and put at the center and get it clear that we are in the battlefields. You see, I'll read the quote of a man. He says, "With a call to universal attention, that all men, all the world, should hear what passes between Christ and the churches, how he commends them, how he comforts them, how he reproves their failure, how he rewards their fidelity. It concerns all the inhabitants of the world to observe God's dealing with his own people." So when he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear," but that's not the only thing. He now mentioned, he says, "He that overcometh," and on. So the matter of overcoming, he said, well then, all noble life in this world is a fight. And to say, "I trust in Jesus," is not enough. To say, "I trust in the Lord," is not enough. "I believe in Jesus," is not enough. "I go to church," is not enough. "I read my Bible," is not enough. Unless that trust and that belief in Jesus manifests itself in strenuous antagonism, strenuous resistance against evil. And then we realize victory over it. Strenuous resistance against those things that appear as though they are righteous, but they are evil. The Bible says that to him that overcometh, will I give. We must seek to conquer because there is gift. There are gifts. I'm going to talk about that before we go. We must fight. And it's a conflict. It's the conflict of the Christian life. It's conflict against evil principles, against self. Let's take self, for example, because that is internal. Conflict against self. The soul of the heart of a man, of a Christian, of a believer, must be right in all godly principle, in all his disposition. It must be loyal to Christ, and his affections must be on Christ, and all the affiliations of the heart must be towards Christ, and devote in his thinking, in his contemplations. And this must be central to our life. Brethren, it is a conflict not only with evil principles. As we add in the case of Jezebel and Balaam and the Nicolaitans, but also with evil men. So both their principles that they perpetuate, and also the men themselves. Now, it is sometimes hard to withstand people that are charming, like Jezebel. People that are prophets, like Balaam. And sometimes it seems difficult. Charming prophet, but they are sinful. Or a friend that is so close, but is sinful. Who will lead us into the camp of the enemy? It is conflict against evil spirits that watch the varying attitudes of human mind as manifested in external conduct and seek each moment to affect our moral ruin, to cause our heart, our mind, to not be focused on God. And ruin. You know, there are people who are today, they are addicted to things. Whether it's to, you know, phones, or whether they are addicted to some books, or whether they are addicted to movies, whether they are addicted to, and these things are things that stand in their way, apart from the fact that it corrupts the soul, the evil spirits. Things that actually, you know, takes their consecration, it takes their heart, it takes their mind. When they do it, that's all they think about. They don't think about Christ. They have fellowship, they have communion with the devil. So it's a conflict. So self must be conquered. And brethren, I want to tell you, have you conquered self? Have you conquered sin? I said self, the other one is sin, of course. Why the devil will tempt you to sin? I believe that we are talking to believers here, and we are believers. But sin can come, the temptation to sin can come. But one of the things that needs to be dealt with is number one, self. If self is not dealt with, sin can come and reign again. If the leanings of our heart, of our soul is not dealt with, many people have gone back into sin as a result of not taking care of self, of not crucifying self on the cross. And thus, they made a shipwreck of their journey and of the faith that they've received. Brethren, this victory that we are saying that men should have, this overcoming, it's central to our Christian life. It is not a peripheral thing. You know, I see people, we take many things as central. That, oh, if I don't do this, if I don't, you know, if I don't go to church, if I don't do this, if I, some boxes, I don't want to mention anything because every single thing is important. Whether it's going to church, whether it's reading your Bible, whether it's praying, whether it's doing night vigil, and on, they are compliments. But all, everything work together to actually make for our overcoming. And when it happens that you begin to major on one thing, minor on the other, then you're almost preparing not to overcome. So why did Jesus speak of he that overcometh? Like I mentioned, Jesus is a perfect example. He's a poster son of God. And if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 21, the Bible says that to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in heaven. Jesus Christ overcame. No, we said he overcame self. He overcame sin. But that was not all. He also overcame Satan. We said self, we said sin, we said Satan. You know what he said? He said, the prince of this world cometh unto me, and he found nothing in me. And the reason why Satan could not find anything in him, because self was taken care of. The love for the world of this, the things of this world were taken care of. You know, when Satan came to Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, you could recall that temptation of Jesus Christ. He said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. That was the lust of the high. That was the lust of the flesh. He said, command this stone to become bread. Then he turned again unto him, say, if thou be the Son of God. While he took him to the pinnacle of the temple, he said, jump and jump down. As in the scripture says, he will give his angels charge over you, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus Christ said, no. That was a temptation. He said, thou shalt not tempt. A temptation to bring pride out of him. See, when I started with the need for us to deal with self, there are many people that would miss heaven because of pride of life. Because the devil comes with temptation to sin, and it will not appear as sin to them because there is a pride inside them. A pride of life. They see the benefit quickly, and they run towards it. Brethren, for us to overcome, self must be taken care of. Of course, sin taken care of, and sin must be constantly taken care of. We must give no place, number three, to Satan. The Bible talked about resisting the devil, and he will flee from thee. You must resist the devil. The devil will come with, the methods of the devil. Is the method of the world. And I'm tempted to add the fourth one. Why we say self, sin, Satan, even the world and the world system. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, again, those things I mentioned, the lust of the eyes, the sum total of those things that are in this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he went on to say, I'm reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Verse 17 there, he says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that dwelleth the will of God abideth forever. You see the will of God there? He that knoweth the will of God to do and stay on it. You see, what we do not often understand in this passage is that when you see the combination of the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, and what Apostle John put in this 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, he's saying these are things that make sure that people do not do the will of God. They do not even seek the will of God. Remember, I said, Jesus Christ said in Hebrews, I have come to do thy will, O God. And so many will not even seek to know the will of God because of the lust of the eyes, because of the lust of the flesh. And they'll be pursuing the things of this world, pursuing them as though, that is their ultimate. And then they will leave. Or not even seek to know what God will have them to do. The prayer of the Puritans in their time was, God, what would you have me to do? It was not a pretext that, oh, God, we have me to become this, or God, we have me to become that. Their young ones were taught to pray, God, what would you have me to do? Because it is in finishing your work and in doing it and in finishing it that I would say I have finished my work. Remember where we started from? I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my work. These are linked, the fight of faith and finishing the work, and then for a crown of life to be waiting for you, to be waiting for me. And so Jesus Christ telling the churches, he that overcometh, he's saying, he that doeth my will, he that doeth my work, the work I have given unto you. Brethren, you want to ask yourself, do you know the work that God has given to you? There's a general work. Occupy it like home. If you're a believer, occupy it like home. There are general principles. Whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, glory of God. But also seek specific work. You know, many of us don't want to be a mediocre in our career life, in the general physical life. But I see people seeking to be mediocres in the matters of the kingdom, and they want to overcome. They play basic, general, with the matters of, and they do not come to God and say, God, is there something you would have me to do in this life? So that I will pursue it. And even if I die there, I just want to do your will. So when you get to heaven, you say, Lord, this was the work you gave unto me. I have finished it. They say, welcome, my faithful servant. What will be your faithfulness? On what matter will you be faithful on after you have gone to pursue the things of this world? And you say, we are doing it to glorify. What glory? What glory? If you read the Bible, the book of John chapter 15, what is that thing that glorifies God? It's obedience. Obedience to what? To the will of the Father. Go and read the book of John chapter 15. And so when Jesus began to talk to the churches, to warn the churches, to instruct the churches, to challenge the churches, even those ones that were righteous and those ones that had a few things against them, he's saying, repent. He's saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him know. Let him understand what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And I want to come to you to tell you today, for us to overcome, the first matter we need to deal with in our life is our hearts. The leaning of our hearts, the focus of our hearts, the pursuit of our hearts. Where is it? Do you seek God? Do you seek God's will? Now, I want to clearly, and if you have your Bible quickly, and this is a digression, go to the book of Romans. And I'll quickly read Romans, lest I get misinterpreted. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul the Apostle writing to the Roman church, by the mercies of God, I'm begging you that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, only an acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'm saying this because lest anybody say, oh, let me go and work for God. Let me go and work for God. Let me go and do this for God. It is not do for God. It's first releasing yourself and saying, God, I am yours. Whatsoever you want to do through me, let me know. What will you have me to do? I have consecrated my life. This is what I'm spending my life to do. And may I mention that it does not have to be preaching like, you know, this. It does not have to be. And if it has to be, do. What I mean is that you don't have to be a pastor. And if you look at verse 2 there, it says, as far as what I'm telling you, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to prove what is good and acceptable and what? The perfect will of God. I hope you can see this connection, please. The will of God, the mind, the soul, the heart of a man, conformity with the world as opposed to presenting ourselves unto God. So when we begin to talk about Ephesus church, which by the grace of God in the next 2 sessions, we'll begin to talk about the churches. And next week, we're going to talk about tragedy in the church as an introduction to each of the challenges, the problems that the churches were facing. Okay? But at this point, I hope you can draw the connection that if a man will please God, we talked about last week, then if a man will overcome, it is a continuum of sin. Submit yourself unto God. Release your life unto him. Seek him. Know God. That was where we started from. Know God. Believe his son. Yield to the Holy Spirit. I repeated that today. This is the third time. We must separate ourselves from the world system. And so that passage says, and be not conformed to this world. How many believers are conformed to this world? How many believers are conformed to the world around us? My time is fast spent. So I said, what to do to overcome? We must separate ourselves, submit ourselves unto God, conquer self, conquer sin, conquer Satan. And there was a particular church, and I'll talk about Conquer Satan, Pergamos. If you look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says that I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days where Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. And I want to mention, very importantly, before we leave this point, that it is possible to live a Christian life anywhere. Anywhere. And there were some people in Pergamos that were living the Christian life. But how did they do it? They held fast to the name of Christ. And they did not deny Christ. You see, there are some difficult places where if you mention the name of Jesus Christ, it is a sin. You may think that I'm talking about places where, you know, people should not even mention Christ. I'm talking about places where it seems free to mention Christ. And it seems you have all freedom. But that is where Satan's seat is. Sin and the world system and the attractions of the world and the temptation to be conformed to the world is seated. In which you can't even consecrate yourself very well unto God because there is this drawing you, that drawing you. They need to meet this, they need to meet that. Where Satan's seat is. But I want to mention today that Christianity is not a matter of locality. And overcoming is not a matter of locality. Of course, if you are in a place that is more difficult, you need to fight more. And I can say that some of us are in environments that are difficult. That our locality is really, really cold. Our locality is really, really frigid to the Christian faith. As a matter of fact, people are now carrying frozen Christian life, caricature. But I want to mention again that Christianity is not a matter of locality, it's a matter of loyalty. Where is your loyalty? When Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 12, I read, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the perfect, acceptable, and good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know what that means? You're loyal to God. You're saying, God, what would you have me to do? Even in this interesting, in this frigid environment, what would you have me to do? And I want to tell you that Pergamos was in such a situation. Probably you are in an environment where people give a lot of premium to position in the world, status. Oh, my time is fast spent. And that's why you see today, you probably know many people who, while they were on campus, they lived what seemed to be like a Christian life. While they are at home, they live what seems to be like a Christian life. But once they are out, it was as if they never knew God. Everything they once believed, everything has gone down the drain because there is no loyalty to God. If you are going to overcome, your loyalty must be to Christ. The Bible says in the book of that Revelation chapter 12, it said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. And they loved not their own life, even unto death. That's loyalty to Christ. Revelation chapter 12, you see there. And so the same thing applies to people who move from one country to the other. Then money comes. And then they lose loyalty to Christ. If you are ever going to overcome, you must be loyal to Christ. If you are not loyal to Christ, your loyalty will be tested. In that Western country, your loyalty will be tested. Do you really love God? Or do you love your pockets? Or do you love pride? Or do you love position? Is it the lust of the eyes? Are you not conformed to the world? You know, if people are already in a country where they say, don't mention Jesus at all, if you mention, we'll kill you. You know that you are there. And God knows that you are there. But when you're in a place where it is free, but all many, many factors are even pulling you. Like, it's even more difficult to hold on to Jesus. As you are seeing people now using light hand to hold on to Jesus. Are you like that? He that overcometh. We must be persistent in our loyalty to Christ, irrespective of position, irrespective of place, location. Our loyalty to Christ must be continuous. And this is very important to mention. For parents, for pastors, for disciples, when you are in a frigid environment, your primary responsibility, you have more work to do. That you build the loyalty unto Christ in your children, in your disciples, in your members, among your flocks. You want to break them from every loyalty to the world. You want to prepare them against the world, that they be not conformed to the world, so that they will overcome. When you overcome in a difficult environment, and this is to encourage every one of us, it is possible to overcome. And as I've acknowledged, that the Christian life is harder in some environment than the other. But also, the reward
for living the Christian life in a difficult environment is more. If you look at letter written to the Pergamos, and we're going to talk about it when we talk about the Pergamos church, so I'll leave it for now. Jesus spoke about many rewards for many people. And you can just read that on your own. My time is really, really fast paced. So what are the rewards for overcomers? Now, this is not exhaustive. If you go to each of those passages where Jesus Christ mentioned, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, says to Ephesus church, he said, they will eat of the manna, of the tree of life, I mean, which is at the center of the garden. What's that pointing to? The tree of life. That was what Adam and Eve did not eat. They will live forever. And then a new life of God will be in them. To another church, he said they will escape the second death. And I've talked about second death before. The time we talk about the proper perspective on the death in general. But death, the Bible talks about death in the New Testament. What does this refer to? It's separation from our environment. So when we say you are dead to sin, you are dead to your sinful environment, dead to the world, you are dead to an environment. So when we say you are, people die the second time, eternal death. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 6, Revelation chapter 20 verse 14, Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, it talks about death. And that's the eternal death and doom. Death, dead to God forever. It's not that they're going to die and cease to exist. They're going to suffer and they will not have any opportunity for repentance. Death to God. I pray that will not be a portion in Jesus' name. But there's also death. You know, when we say people die in this world, they die into the physical state. And there are people who will have spiritual death. Maybe they came alive as a result of the gospel, but they will still be part of the death because they retrogressed into sin. They went back into sin. Unless anyone deceive you about eternal security. Jesus Christ in one of the letters says, when he was talking to the church, he said, he that overcometh, his name will not, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. He talked about the Eden manna in chapter 2 verse 12. There are rewards for those that overcome. And probably you're there. The world has called you pariah. You're a rebel. As though you're not worthy of life. Perhaps they called you poor, wretched. And they called you nonentity. They will not even, you know, count you. Jesus Christ said, I will give you a white stone if you overcome. And I write a new name on it. Name that nobody knows. And maybe you're there. Yeah, no, it seems like you're a nonentity because of your stand in Christ. Even people who are called Christians will not count you to be among them. He said, I will confess your name before my God and before his angels. And perhaps you say, I don't have position in this world. I'm not known in this world. Jesus Christ said to one of the churches, he said, he that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me by my throne. So you are going to have a seat by Jesus. Where as his glory shines, you shine. The Bible says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine. To one of the churches, he said, I will give you the morning star. So just to summarize it, there are many gifts. Brethren, there is eternal death to escape. Revelation 2:11. There are gifts to be given. Tree of life. Eden manna. White stone. Power over nations. He said, in this world, oh, I don't have any power. I don't have any position. I'm just... Take it. Just be loyal to Christ. Because you have power over nations. Perhaps in this world, you don't have clothes. And, you know, people dress sumptuously. Maybe you remember Lazarus, who was in his own time. It seemed, oh, he never had anything. But Jesus Christ said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. You say, I don't have name. He said, no, it's not only name. I'll give you a name. But I'll give you a cloth. And I will confess your name. Maybe you are not known in this world. You see, when Lazarus died, the Bible says he went to Abraham's bosom. And when the rich man died, he went to the other side. You see, there are many people in this world that it will seem as though they've achieved all they need to achieve in this world. But by the time they get to the other side, there will be nobody. And they will say they've had their loss, and that was the end for them. Now, we are not glamorizing poverty. What we are speaking of here is, the Bible says better than the point of spirit, poverty in the spirit that makes you to go unto God, to seek God, to give you to search God with all your heart, to love God, to be loyal to God, that you have not gotten enough of him. You know, the way the people of the world pursue money, it's like they get it, they still want to get more. That's Christ. Will be your pursuit. That even as you have more, you are saying, God, I want to know you more. You are praying for him. You are seeking him. You are yearning after him. He said, there is debt to escape. There are gifts to get. He said, he's going to give you money star. There is clothing. There is preserving. There's confession of names before the Father and before the angels in heaven. There's a writing.
He said, I will write him my new name, the name of God. There is making. It will make. He said, I will make him. There are things, there are blessedness that come with overcoming.
He says, I will grant him a throne to sit by me. There are setting. You know, some people say, I'm not all set in this world. I just wish I have this. No. Why are you seeking? He says, seeketh thou great things for thyself. Seek them not. All these things that people are thinking they are all set about. If you have them, God bless you. If you don't have them, seek them not. Except God by providence provide them to you, seek them not. What do you do? Set your affection on God. Set your affection on the Father. Set your affection on the King of Kings. I pray our affection will be set on him in Jesus' name. He said, it will be set before our Lord God Almighty. There is a setting. We'll all be set. You know, when he was talking to the Laodicean church, these are the people who had money. They had riches. They increased with goods. And they think they had need of nothing. That is when the word says, I'm all set. And Jesus, when he was talking to that church particularly, he said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. It's a grand thing. It's not that he said, even as I also overcame and I am set down with my Father in his throne. You will be set with Jesus. And I want this to be a word of comfort for those that are sorrowful or afflicted today. I want this to be a word to cheer those that are in Christ and they are walking faithfully. I want this to encourage every one of us to hold fast. As Jesus Christ said unto the churches, hold fast that which thou hast. To Sadi said, those ones that have not really, they've not gotten into sin. He said, they will walk with me. He said, hold fast. Let this also be a caution to those that are self-satisfied. Let this be a reassurance for those that are steadfast. Like the uncompromising people in Sadi's. Let this be a warning and a wake-up call for those that are slumbering. And those that are permissive, allowing the love of things to come into their hearts. Names will be plotted out of the book of life. On that day, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But also, on that day, there will be smiles, there will be joy. And all the troubles of this world, short-time troubles, will be turned to long-time glamour. Brethren, do you want to overcome? There is a shining to shine. There are kingdom to rule. There are many, many things for those that overcome. And I've told you today, at the center and the primary driver of overcoming is that you set your heart on God. And you are loyal unto God. And you cut off sin, you cut off Satan, you cut off self and the worldly system. And you ask God, what will you have me to do? You seek to do the will of the Father. You do it as Paul the Apostle has done. He said, I have fought. You fight against sin. You fight against every form of sinfulness that wants to come into your heart. You fight against every form of lassitude. You consecrate yourself even if it takes your life. Even if it takes your peace in this world, your position in the world. Let me tell you, you have many more of that. Jesus has a lot of that in heaven. And he has been our perfect example. He went through troubles. He went through trials. And he became a perfect example. He went through the contradiction of men. You may get to the point in which you are being rejected. Oh, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ was rejected. You may get to the point in which it seems that you are suffering from men. Oh, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ suffered. Maybe you want to start praying. I want to tell you, Jesus suffered. The Bible says, from that time forth, began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. He was rejected by his own. John chapter 1 verse 11 says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Can you pray to God that no matter what you face, that your loyalty will be to Christ, whether in poverty, whether in want, whether in rejection, whether in contradiction of sinners or people who are they call themselves to be Christians in your congregation. The Bible says, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind. So that you don't faint. Look at Jesus. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, striving against Satan, striving against self. Pray to the Lord that God will give you grace to endure every contradiction of self, every contradiction of sinners, every temptation of the devil, temptation for the loss of the eyes. All this I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Pride of life. Lust of the eyes. Pound stone to bread. Pride of life. Jump down. Pray to the Lord. Maybe you even talk to people. People have rejected your testimony. John 3:32 says, and what he had seen and heard and testified, and no man received his testimony. Jesus, that was Jesus Christ. Are you now piping down because you're not nobody received your testimony of Jesus Christ? Even Jesus, some did not receive his testimony. Many did not receive his testimony.
His own rejected him. The Bible says he came to his own received him not. What are you going through? What is it that is making you say, you know, how will I now ostracize myself? Jesus is saying, if you overcome, you overcome sin, you overcome Satan, you overcome self, you overcome the world. But that's not all. You overcome the temptation of Satan, the contradiction of sinners, sinning prophets, sinning apostles. And you may even suffer from men. Your own may reject you. Your testimony may be rejected. People may hate you. Oh, they've hated Jesus. And he said, now I am set before my Father. Brother, sister, one day you'll be set. Pray to the Lord that God will give you the grace. That no matter what you face in this world, you will follow Jesus. Your heart will be upon Jesus. You will know his will and you will do it. And I will know his will. I will do it. And every one of us will be well-pleasing unto our Lord God Almighty. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord. And the Lord God Almighty will do this. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity you have given unto us. And this challenge you have given unto us on the matter of overcoming. Our prayer, our heart desire, our heart cry is that you will walk upon us. And you will help us to overcome. Overcome sin, overcome Satan, overcome every contradiction of men in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray self will be conquered in us. And day after day, our heart will be fully attached unto you. Our heart will be fully given unto you. Our heart will be sold in your will, and will say of a truth that it is your will that we are going to do. Help us, oh God, that nothing will separate us from your love. Nothing will separate us from righteousness. Oh, not persecution of men. Not difficulties that we go through in this world. But God, oh Lord, you will strengthen us day after day, time after time. And you help us to do your will in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know you have answered. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.